Welcome to the Arise Shine podcast with Pastor Glenn Schleck. Today's episode, as well as every weekly episode, will feature teachings from the Bible from Pastor Glenn. If you have any questions about any of the messages or you'd like to contact us, please do so at rdugall@emmanuelloveland.org. God bless you as you continue to grow in Jesus.
Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and here we sit. No Broncos, no Packers, no Vikings, no Cowboys, no Bills, no Bears. I know there are a few other fan bases I'm probably forgetting. But I think the only happy people that, and I really thought about this, that I was aware of is Kyle Sechrist and the Selberts, who are happy and kind of excited because your teams are going to be playing here this afternoon. The rest of us, here we sit. Now, my guess is that most of us by this point in time have gotten over being crabby or bummed out that our teams aren't playing today. And what's interesting is there's actually a, you might call it a tenuous, but I'm going to go strong, that there's a connection with the Super Bowl and what we're talking about here today. But hang tight, we're going to circle around to that at the end. Now, we have been spending about a month and a half talking about being epiphanized. And in short, what that means is that we have been made and created to shine the light of Jesus, to shine his light, to shine his love into the lives of people around us, into our community, and into our world. We know that we were epiphanized when we were baptized, just as Jeremiah is going to be epiphanized here in just a little bit today. And we also know that it is all through the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work through the gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ, through his word, at work in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. And I've said it over and over again, and I'll say it again today because it bears repeating, that this light that we shine is not my light. It's not the light shining on what a great light shiner I am. It's not light shining on me at how super a person, how wonderful a pastor, how great a dad I am. It's not light shining on Emmanuel and how great this church is in spite of all the great things that God is doing here. No, the light that we are shining is Jesus. It is always Jesus. His light that shines into us, a light that shines forgiveness and grace and love and hope and so much more. That is what we shine. Now, what we get from today's word, in particular, Deuteronomy 30 is more about how to do that. And I love Deuteronomy 30 and some of what the Lord has to say here. And what the Lord is saying through Moses as he's speaking to his people several thousand years ago and also to us is so simply stated. And it's so straightforward. A couple of verses immediately before what Marcus read for us in Deuteronomy 30 say just that. It goes like this, verse 11, Deuteronomy 30. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. And then in verse 14, no, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. And what we have today, he goes on immediately to talk about choice choices that we have as epiphanized, baptized children of God. So listen, verses 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And then verse 19, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choices. Now, before I go any further with this, I want to acknowledge some of the sensitivity around this, because I know that there are many of us here today who have gone through and experienced, even in recent years, death by suicide. People in our immediate families, people in our extended families, classmates, friends, others. And what we're talking about here and what the Lord has to say to us, it does speak to that. But it's also speaking much more broadly in terms of what this entire gift of life truly is. But I want to acknowledge that up front, because I do want to be sensitive to that. And knowing, as we talk about choices that need to be made, that for many, and with families and individuals that I have walked through who have experienced suicide, there are things that just do not go right. Faith is there. God is there. But things are misfiring in people's minds and their hearts, and take these steps and these devastating choices at times. What I want to talk to us today about speaks much more broadly. So what we've got from what the Lord said here: life and prosperity, death and destruction, life or death, blessings or curses. And so what we need to ask today is, which will it be? What choices are we, as God's people, going to make? How are we going to live the lives that we have been given with the choices that are here before us? Are we going to truly live life with all that life can be, specifically a life in Christ? Or are we going to make choices that will hurt us, harm us, hurt others, damage relationships? Choices that can diminish this gift of life. Choices that can keep us from experiencing everything that life in Christ and life from our God is intended to be. Life and prosperity, death and destruction. Life or death, blessings or curses. We really don't have to make it complicated. Honestly, it's not all that hard when push comes to shove. We heard it earlier when the Lord said it's not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. But how do we do it? So the Lord tells us that too. In each of those verses in today's reading in Deuteronomy 30, right after he lays out the choices, he says, and here's what you got to do. And it's this. First of all, verse 16, Deuteronomy 30. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live. And again, after the second set of choices, verse 20. Love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. It's not that hard. These things are not beyond our reach when it comes to the choices that we have to make. Choices big and small, but choices that we make continuously through the course of any given day. So then we hear what was in today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is just going off, and he's talking about, you know, don't murder, don't be angry, don't call names. He talks about oaths, he talks about adultery, he talks about divorce, talks about plucking out your eye and cutting off your hand and on and on. And you get done with that and you almost want to say, whoa, man, Jesus, take a chill pill. Relax a little bit. Because we hear that, to say nothing of the rest of the world that hears that, people who aren't believers, aren't Christian, aren't followers, they hear that, we hear that, and it's like, wow, so there we go. I mean, this Christianity stuff is just a bunch of rules. And it's this mean God who is up there. And I thought, by the way, I had choices. But here he's cutting everything off and said, no, this is it. This is what I got to do. There are no choices. This is the way it's supposed to be. And he's zapping all my fun and pulling the rug out and just doesn't seem right. Harsh. Seems mean. Following Jesus is not just about following the rules. Now, are the rules important? Give me a nod here. Let me see if you're with me, if I lost you yet. Are the rules important? Yeah, they're important. They're very important, extremely important. All the way back to the 10. Okay, go all the way back there. We got the 10 commandments. We have all these other commandments and commands that are given us that we read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then we got Jesus here in Matthew 5 in his sermon who takes some of these 10 commandments and blows them up even further, expands on them. They're important. The question is, why are they important? Why did the Lord give these to us? Why did Jesus say these things the way he said them? Comes back to choices and the choices we make. Life or death, blessings or curses. He said this, because God isn't just this mean ogre. He tells us exactly what he wants for us and what he wants from us. Verse 19, Deuteronomy. Choose life so that you and your children may live. Choose life so you can live. So he says these things. He tells us what not to do. He tells us all these things that we're supposed to avoid. He puts these margins around us, these boundaries around us in our life. And he does those things not because he doesn't want us to have any fun. He gives us those things, tells us what not to do, what to avoid, gives us these boundaries because he loves us. He wants to protect us from where so many of these bad choices will take us. He knows. He's seen it. He has seen his people experience the awfulness of where these choices of death and destruction and curses, where they all end up. He wants to protect us from those choices, bad choices, that can hurt us, that can damage our relationships, that can send us plummeting down paths of darkness and even destruction. He wants the best for us. Not to zap our fun, but so that we can have even more. A life that is found in Christ is a full life, is an abundant life. Now, what does it mean to choose life? What does it mean to really live life? That's where I want to pause for a moment this morning. I want to give you a chance to think about that. And if you're comfortable, as always, feel free to talk with the people that you're sitting around. But what does it mean to choose life? What does it mean to really live life? The life that God has given to us from His perspective. I want to encourage you to get practical with this. Jesus gives us some practical pieces, but let's get practical in our own lives and how that can look and how we can do that. All right? Take a moment, if you would, please. All right, let me hear a little bit. What are you thinking? What are you talking about in practical terms? What does it mean? What does it look like to choose life or to really live? Thoughts? Dick?
Feel less guilty.
Nice. Feel less guilty. I mean, that's a byproduct of it, right? We choose life. We choose those things. We got less to feel guilty about. That's freeing. What else? Arlene.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Oh, what we just sang, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So we look to Him, right? And we ask Him to give that joy that we know is only from Him. True joy. Okay? How else do we do that, Rachel?
Stop waiting for him to have enough money.
Stop waiting. And we can add what you did, stop waiting till you have enough money, or stop waiting until you lose more weight, or stop waiting until you get into shape, or stop waiting until, and live life. Good. Practical. Lindy.
On purpose, be a blessing to other people. Deliberately and on purpose.
Okay. On purpose, intentionally, deliberately, be a blessing to other people. Choosing life is giving ourselves away, blessing, helping, speaking into other people's lives. Gail.
Take your identity from what God says rather than what the world
or... Okay. Take your identity from what God says, who God says you are, and not what the world tells you you are or is confused about who you are or wonders who you are. We know who we are. There are no questions. Take it straight from God, the truth, His word, with who we are and our identity. Good? Any others? Jocelyn.
Don't be afraid to fail because Jesus gave us the opportunity to try again.
Don't be afraid to fail. That's what grace is. That's what forgiveness is, right? Being able to do it over. Try again. And it's not that we're plummeting down this path of darkness just because we know we're going to be forgiven. And that's a whole other set of issues. But when we do fail, because we are, thanks for bringing this up. The reality is we are going to make bad choices, right? Even as redeemed, epiphanized, baptized children of God, we still step back at times and say, good grief. Why did I do that? Say that. Go there. Forgiveness is real. It's life-giving. And to be able to say, let's try this again. Okay? Here are the choices. Choose life. Good. Thank you for that, Jocelyn. Bill. Take our what off?
Take our focus off of things.
Got it. Good. Take our focus off of things and put it elsewhere. On Him, on people, on what He's asked of us. Yeah. Good. Any others right now? Yeah, starting the day with hope, which we can do, right? And one of the, as we're talking, baptism of grandson, that Luther urged, so when you wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross. Start right there. Or, you know, I've taught, when you jump in the shower, remember your baptism. Start the day remembering who we are. And if the day started with hope, of saying, okay, let's go, Lord. This is your day, a day you've made. Let's rejoice. Be glad in it. So we can do that. Some intentionality, again, tied to that. Excellent. Great thoughts with that. And I'm sure there are lots of other great ideas, and I encourage you to act on those, to step into those. You know, the reality is what God has said here. And these kind of tie in and relate to some of the very practical pieces you've mentioned. But again, what he said here in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Do what we're doing here. Come to worship. Gather and worship. Put ourselves into his hands week in, week out. Start there and say, Lord, I love you. Sing your praises, ready to hear, ready to receive again what you have, and live out actively that relationship. And then walk in obedience to him. Keep his commands, decrees, his laws. Obey. These rules are important. Not to make us good, not so God will shine on us, but these are good because this is what God has laid out for us, that he knows are good for us. So obey him. Trust him. Do what he said, is what he's saying here. Do what I'm telling you. And life is going to be, it's going to be good. If your heart turns away, you're not obedient, bowed on to other gods, you worship them, I declare, you'll be destroyed. Not necessarily we're going to die physically, but it's a path of destruction. So don't go there. And as he ended it, love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Now, I promise I'd circle back around to the Super Bowl. So here's what I encourage. Here's kind of the tie-in, and I'll let you judge if it's a worthwhile tie-in or not. In addition to all these great ideas that you have, and this is kind of what you're saying, Stacy, as you sit down to watch a game today, don't be crabby or bummed out that your team's not there. Okay? Just take in the game for what it is. It's a game. It's entertainment. It is not going to have a profound impact on your life when you wake up tomorrow morning. It just will not. In light of that, watch a game, laugh at the commercials, hang out with some people, eat those snacks, eat those appetizers, and enjoy. Enjoy the gift God has given to you of just living. Now, if you hate football and you have no intention of turning on the TV today, go for a walk. It's going to be gorgeous out. Do something that gives you an opportunity to breathe, to realize this gift of life that God has given to us, a life that is centered and focused in Jesus. Choose life. What now for today? If you want to grab your insert, it's also up on the screen. Encourage you to think about this in the week to come. When it comes to choosing life, how are you faring? What needs to change in your heart, mind, attitude, or actions? Pray about this. Talk with people you trust who would be willing to help you and hold you accountable. And bottom line, choose life and really live. Amen. And that peace of God, a peace that at times goes beyond our understanding, let it guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus, today and always. Amen.